Ashley Melbourne,
Phoebe, Feb and Nick.
Phoebe, Feb and Nick have got your mornings covered. And Fairhaven Homes are the Victorian family-owned builder that has you covered. That's fair. That's Fairhaven Homes. Phoebe,
Feb and Nick. Robbie Williams talking about it today. He's got to be one of the best pre-show of all time, really, in the grand final, doesn't he, Fev?
Oh, we were discussing it at our house, Nick. We had a bit of a party on the weekend. We had people over, and we all got in there, and we sat down and watched, and I think everyone said that that was easily the best ever because he got the crowd involved, and the crowd sung because they know his songs. You know, we've had performers recently like Meatloaf, not here anymore, but he was putrid, wasn't he?
Yeah, it
was.
No,
that's
good.
Still talked about now as the worst. Birds of Tokyo last year in Perth, didn't really interest me too much. We had Tones and I, and she's done it before. She nailed it. Jimmy Barnes nailed it.
I was at the Brisbane Grand Final a couple of years ago, and Shepherd was there. Were great.
I thought they were great.
And the bloke from Wolf Mother, he was pretty good.
Yeah, no,
on a show.
Wolf Mother didn't do it for me.
No.
And then Ed Sheeran, early days, before he was Ed Sheeran, big, he graced the turf of the MCG, and he was good.
Now he's playing the G next year.
Now
that's
he's
crazy,
actually
isn't it?
Sold out an MCG. Wow. But Robbie Williams, absolutely entertained. And we did have a chat with him earlier in the year. This was him. Yeah, this was him on Grand Final day. This was the first song he opened up with, Nick.
Hello, Australia. My name is Robbie Williams. And for the next 20 minutes, I'm going to be phenomenal. So you better be good. Come on.
Well, he called it. It was going to be phenomenal. He nailed it. Like, just ran out in a pink suit. Absolutely nailed the pink suit.
With a pink singlet?
Yeah, pink singlet. And he
looked
was,
like a pink Bond singlet.
I'm going to be phenomenal. Well, you were. You nailed it. And my favourite bit of the whole pre-game entertainment was he played one of my favourite songs, and I play this on the Fox a lot. It was my wedding song, and it was Angels, but we had a bit of an inkling he was going to do this because we were sitting with Warnie's slash wife, PA, confidant, everyone, Helen.
Yeah.
She was at our house on Saturday, and she said that in the warm-up, he may have done a little bit of a tribute to Shane. So we sort of knew it was coming. The great late Shane Warne and the kids, Brooke and Jackson, were in the crowd, and Robbie dedicated Angels.
This next song is dedicated to one of Australia's greatest rock stars, Shane Warne. Love you, Warnie. And through it all, she offers me protection, a lot of love and affection, whether I'm right or wrong.
No, it was just absolutely beautiful. And the crowd was singing along. And it's not often at a grand final you get the crowd because, you know, they're just waiting for the big game, the ball to be bounced at the MCG at 2:30. And everyone got around it. And he did something that I didn't think he'd do. He went outside his own songs because not normally these guys, they've got, you know, you've done 9 in a row nallies that have just gone straight through.
Yeah, Robbie Williams can fill 20 minutes of Robbie Williams songs.
And Robbie Williams that everyone knows. But he did pay tribute to one of the great Australian singers who has been fallen ill over the last couple of months, and I think he's still in hospital, the great John Farnham. And I think Johnny Farnham actually was watching, and his family came out in a statement today or yesterday saying how touched he was, and he sung one of his greatest songs, The Voice.
Featuring Fev.
Lucky I wasn't doing it.
Man, I wish I'd asked Robbie Williams for what I should have done at the North Melbourne Grand Final breakfast. I should have just sung some of his songs. It would have gone a lot better. Now, when we had Robbie on the other week,
Fev,
you made a call, which blew my mind at the time. You told him what he should play.
Because I love Robbie Williams.
I know. But
I thought he had a bit on. I was like, I'll do your set list.
Yeah, you're busy. I'll whip you up a set list. I want to see how you went.
I have got your set ready for you.
Oh,
I don't know if you've worked it out yet, but
giving Robbie Williams a set list.
I've got his set list ready for you. Ready? You're gonna light the MCG up in front of 100,000 people with "Let me entertain you."
Okay,
you're just gonna do a little bit of that just to get the crowd going. Because how long do you get? About 12, 15 minutes.
19 minutes.
Oh man! Whoa. All right, you can play the whole song.
Robbie could play a whole hour. Yeah. They'd let him do what he wants.
Then you're gonna go into Better Man.
Okay.
And then you're gonna do a bit of rock DJ.
Okay.
For your third song. And then your fourth song, that's going to be the little kicker, because you're going to come out and sing Kids, but Kylie Minogue, Melbourne Zone, is going to come out with you.
Okay.
You got to punch that out. And then my wedding song and one of the greatest songs ever sung, Angels, just to send it off.
Do you know what? I'm actually disappointed that I'm that predictable.
I went okay.
You did it right.
Just got Better Man wrong.
You got Let Me Entertain You. You got Rock DJ. Got Kids.
Yeah.
Now, it was no Kylie, but Delta.
Yeah.
Which still counts. You got Kids and you got Angels.
Yeah.
So a typical Brendan Favola day, one leg short of a multi.
Yeah. Well, he threw me with the voice. He threw me with the voice. Because that would have been maybe Better Man. But we did also chat to him about the Kylie Minogue speculation, and I said, we'll just ask her. And he did, live.
I will tell you this. I will be singing a song that isn't a Robbie Williams song.
Oh, that's a great name.
Someone's coming out with
it.
I'll just put that out there.
Land Down Under.
Oh.
You know, I Will Be So Lucky by Kylie Minogue.
Yes.
Will she? Are you going to bring her out? Will she come?
Hey, I need to ask her. Maybe I should do that on this radio station right here, right now. Kylie, please come and sing with me. I'd love it if you did.
Yeah, and he did ask on the radio, but we couldn't get a hold of her because she's still in Ramsey Street waiting for her lines.
Still hasn't said anything there.
Check your own
car, Kylie. You can't park in the middle of the street.
101.9 The Fox.
Pump for this. Don't miss Daniel Sloss, his 12th solo show, Can't. It's coming to our beautiful city in April next year, April 22nd. Tickets on sale Thursday, 12 p.m, danielsloss.com.
And he's joining us live from New York City right now, Daniel Sloss. Morning, mate.
Morning. Well, I mean, afternoon. Evening here, I guess.
Yeah, we're in the future.
I should know. Look out the window.
Nah, you're a comedian. Yeah. You don't go outside until nighttime.
Yeah. That's the real morning. We are the scummiest version of Batman.
Oh, it's awful. It is awful. Now, you are coming back with your 12th solo show, Can't, next year. You're currently in New York City running it through. Obviously, your Netflix series covered relationships, all sorts of stuff. Your stand-up has had people break off marriages. It's wild. What are people going to expect this time from you? New dad, Daniel Sloss.
Well, I mean, obviously, expect me to be a new dad comic for a bit. It takes you a while to, you know, skid out that, you know, to get through this, you know, minefield of material. Like, you've got to do a couple of bits, and then mainly, I'm enjoying the fact that, I mean, look, Nick, we both know why I called the show Can't, and to be finally doing Australian radio where the joke pays off tenfold.
With our accent, yeah.
It's like this. Like, I've been promoting the show in New York, and they're like, Daniel Sloss, the show where they hear Can't. So what's that about? And I'm like, this is going to be so much funner in Australia. So much fun.
Now, I'm looking forward to you coming down, Sloss, because we do know that Nick, you're best mates, and Nick... On the weekend, it was our AFL Grand Final. So it's the biggest day in Australia, in Melbourne. 100,000 people get to the MCG. And there's a lot of gigs that comedians and ex-sports players go to. And you sit in a panel and you discuss who's going to win and all that stuff. And then they get a comedian on to, you know, just to really liven up the crowd.
The morning. And, of course, it was at the Melbourne Convention Centre where you're going to be playing in April next year, Slossy, the North Melbourne Grand Final Breakfast. You'd say, is it the biggest one
of these
functions?
It's the biggest one. There's 1,000 people there, Sloss. There's 1,000 people. Now, when you come down to do your Can't show, I need you to get Nick to maybe come on just beforehand, because you've never heard a man flop more
Oh, mate.
They're Nick
Slossy.
Cody on the way. No one laughed.
8 a.m. 8 a.m. I followed a welcome to country into 1,000 people eating scrambled eggs to do 8 minutes. And here's the tip for the convention center, Slossy. Make sure no one's eating breakfast. I couldn't even get a cheer on Melbourne. We're back.
He rocked up to my house, Daniel, and he said, I give myself a 2 out of 10. And that's just, I probably shouldn't even have got a 2.
So, Sloss, before your big show there at the Melbourne Convention Centre next April, tickets on sale this Thursday. Maybe, like, maybe get someone in to just get the bad juju out of the room. Maybe get like a spirit cleanser. Because there was a death in there on Saturday morning.
Just somebody coming in with bacon and just slapping off the egg smells out of the room, being like, it was probably that energy. It's got to be a manlier meat. We got to come on.
Mate, what are you looking forward to coming back to Australia? I know last time it was just before you had your bub, or your bub may have been a couple months old, but I assume this time whole crew's coming out and the touring will change. What do you love about coming down under?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, this is going to have to be a trip, but I do apologize to Melbourne because, God, I badmouthed you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Last time I was there, just saying that you... Well, because at that point, you know, you'd only had like 3 months of lockdown and the UK had like a year. And I rubbed that in your face that you were being, you know, acting as if you had it worse. And then the second I left, you were in lockdown from then until the end of time, man.
Yeah, you really brought us together. Well, we'll show him.
Our goal was to beat everyone in the world. When you said that, we'd only been 3 months, so we thought, no, stuff the world. We need to get to the end and do, like, what did we do, 2.5 years? And we smashed it. It was like a marathon.
Yep. Yeah. And I think I'm going to have to do, like, one of those Game of Thrones acknowledgement walks through town where I'm naked and I let three people of Melbourne throw tomatoes at me and just yell shame because, you know, I definitely jinxed that.
They made me do that after my gig on Saturday. The Sydney Swans lost by 80 points and they were not as bad as I was on that Saturday.
I mean, man, I like doing the show in Australia because it's always the part of the tour where the jokes get to go as far as they possibly can. Like, you know, people in the UK will get upset by certain bits more than other countries. People in America will get offended by different parts of the show. Australia tends to be the place where you, like, you can really stretch that bit out, really just go to corners that not a lot of other places would really let you go to. And then you take it back to the UK and you're like, oh God, we've got to put the English. Yeah, my bad. Sorry, I was with the fun people over there for a bit.
Well, we love this man, one of the funniest guys in the world. You want the tickets, he's coming back next year. This Thursday, set an alarm at 12 p.m. DanielSloss.com, the great man himself. Thanks for your time this morning, mate.
I mean, you definitely don't have to set an alarm. Like, they'll be on sale for a while. It's a big room.
Good on you, mate. Have a good day.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Fifi, Fever, Nick, boys, how was the weekend?
Oh, it was great. It's my favorite. I just had a stack, so I had a stack. I'm on a scooter. I've torn my Achilles, and I'm just picking up branches and stuff off my cast.
You've got a foot to just under the knee cast on, all wrapped up. You had surgery the week
before.
Just past one before. And you're on your little scooter again, little one-legged scooter, getting around, and you've gone to hop in the Uber this morning. And what'd you hit?
I've gone down my driveway, and I've hit a branch, and I've just gone arse over. And I've got blood out of my knee, my shoulder, my hand, and I've got crap all over my cast.
Imagine picking that up in the dark. Congrats to that Uber driver for sticking around. Yeah. Just seeing you in the shadows. bleeding. I'll pass.
I was sitting in the back seat, and I was sweating up because you get hot. And I was like, this bloke thinks I've been on a bender and stayed at some bird's house. And I've stacked me scooter. He's like, this bloke's not well.
So much sadder.
But it was. Grand final week, grand final day. It's my favourite day of the year. Being an ex-player, it's what you live to as a small kid. You want to play in a grand final. I love watching the grand final. But what a fizzer. Obviously, the Cats, 2013, 133, absolutely demolished. The Swans 8-4-52, and it's quite funny. The Victorian police are starting to be like the Queensland police. You know, the Queensland police put out funny tweets.
Yeah,
They said, "Has anyone to the?" They tagged the New South Wales Police in it and said, "22 missing swans in Melbourne. If you find them, can you let us know?" Mate, they were horrible. It was actually a crap grand final, to be honest.
I feel bad for the people that came. The comedian Sam Taunton, who's been on the show a few times, yeah. He couldn't get a flight down on Friday, so he met a mate in Wollongong and drove the 9 hours or whatever to get down to Melbourne just to get absolutely pumped.
Yeah, that's not fun. But we had a party. I had a party at my house with a couple of mates, which was good. We watched a fair bit of the footy. We drank a few ales, but we drank responsibly. You came, Nick, with your family.
You invited the family
and
over.
The boys.
We walked inside. I don't think Charlie's ever seen a place so massive and clean. What's so many rooms for, Daddy? I don't know, man. I think they're onto something. Yeah?
The funniest thing was just like Nick looked at me and Alex and said, "When I get home, I'm getting Looch and the kids out, and I'm burning my house down." And I said, "What?"
Man, we're in a three-bedder, and one of the bedrooms, the bloke that used to own the house just added it on by himself, so it's not even insulated. So it'll be freezing on cold days, boiling on hot days. The owner put in a new dishwasher that doesn't fit the gap, so there's these big gaps either side. Now there's a mouse in there, and I go over to Fev's palatial mansion. Beautiful place.
But I tell you what, because grand final day is my day. I love to cook. I love to get everything ready. We brought some beautiful live fillets, and we had prawns, and I usually cook everything, but I didn't do a thing.
No. Well, you can't. You're injured.
The whole day. So I was sitting up playing COD for the first hour and a half before anyone rocked up, and then I was sitting on the couch watching the pre-game. Alex is running around doing everything for about 40 people to come over, and I felt a bit bad. But then when she cooked the live fillet, she butchered that. Did you eat that?
What do you mean?
It was just too well cooked. Oh, I didn't eat any of it. You didn't mind it?
Oh,
it
was good.
I was so flat.
Well, yeah.
We hired. She got a big table, and we got this table. We hired a table to sit down for lunch. And I said to Alex, "It's grand final day. No one's sitting at a table having lunch."
She's like, No one's sitting at a table having lunch when the game's on.
No.
There's no way.
There's no way it's happening. And she had it all set up. Didn't it look beautiful?
Yeah.
No one said it.
Oh, her and Anthony Kalea.
Yeah, that was it. Her and Kalea sat there and Tim. And it was so flattening. But we hired a jumping castle for the kids, a big unicorn jumping castle. And they said no adults on the jumping castle because it could pop. And then I look over and there's a little redheaded man with little short legs jumping on the trampoline. I mean, on the jumping castle. And I did say you do look like a little small child, so we could get away with that.
Yeah, I'm wearing a T-shirt and shorts to a big event, you know, dressed like a kid. But I had little Maxie on there, my little 1-year-old, so I had to watch him. I think my favourite quote of the day, though, and I cannot believe this happened, after being married to you, Fev, for so long, Alex came out at the start of the third quarter and said, "Is this game still going on?" Like, how many games do you have to go to?
101.9 The Fox.
Hey, over in Kalgoorlie in WA, a student at John Paul College has been suspended from school for a month.
What? What did he do?
Having a mullet. Getting a month off.
Getting a mullet or had a mullet?
He's got a mullet.
Oh, wow.
So he kept turning up to school with a mullet. They said, "Don't turn up with a mullet." He's turned up again. Suspended for a month.
Oh, there's a picture. I was running with that last year, that little... the shaved top of your head... Like fully bald, and then he's got the big long, like sort of rat's like hair at the back, like a big, what are they called?
The mullet.
Yeah.
Oh, the mane.
The mane on a horse.
Mane.
That's exactly what it looks like. Good on him.
Nah, a month seems a bit too much. Nah. I got threatened with suspension in year 8 or 9. I turned up with bleach white hair to my school, Westbourne out in Hoppers, and the principal said, "If you turn up with that tomorrow, we'll be sending you home."
Did you say it's better than red?
Well, I'm trying to improve my looks, please. I'm trying to look like Eminem. But my mum came in and said, "My son will get the dye out of his hair when you get the dye out of your hair."
Oh,
to the principal.
Okay.
Karen doesn't play games.
And that was it. You were sweet.
That was it. Good to go.
Mate, a month.
You must have been suspended for something.
Oh, mate, I used to get suspended all the time. I went to a school called St. Francis Xavier down in Beaconsfield, and we had a pretty strict sort of uniform, and your tie had to be on and your shirt tucked in, blazer.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, shoes polished and all that sort of stuff. And I kept saying we're poor, so I can't get boot polish. But I kicked had a church.
Didn't explain the tie though.
Yeah.
No, I can't do my tie up.
No, I used to have that one with a string around it.
No.
It was sick.
No, I didn't, you did it.
Yeah, mate, it was sick. You just put it on, put it off.
I can't say what we used to call that. Started with a W, and you'd pull it down and flick it back up at the kid.
I had one of those. But we did have a church where you'd go in, and you have to be Catholic to be an altar boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't Catholic, and I went to the school, and one of the other altar boys was sick, so I went up. I was an altar boy, and I walked down with the priest and had the wine and all that, and I was standing up on stage, and I had no idea what to do. So all the boys are telling me what to do. And then the next day, I got pulled into the principal's office, and they said that you've disrespected the Catholic Church. And
I love that you
a little suspension.
You even cheated off homework in church. Yeah. Well, boys, how do I do this?
Yeah, I didn't know what I was doing. And then I, when I come back, I think it was a 100-year-old church. I kicked a footy through one of the glass, you know. So I got suspended for that. And then I got suspended from school footy. So they said I'm not allowed to play school footy. So on the Friday, because we used to play Saturday sport back in the day. And so I cracked a big hole in one of the pipes and flooded the ground. So no one could play. So I got suspended for that too. I think I might have got kicked out. That's when I got expelled. Or asked to leave. So they went down well. That's just a couple of times.
Must have learned about Noah's Ark from the Bible. Have this, guys.
Build it and they will come.
40 days of water. No, that's not it. That's Field of Dreams.
131060. What did you get suspended for?
Yeah, let's open the phones up right now. If you got a story about what you or someone you know has done, give us a buzz here at the Fox. We'll take your calls.
The ones I can actually talk about. James Blake, who I thought would never be suspended ever in his lifetime because he's our nerd. He's a very...
he's a bloke. He's 25.
Runs by rules. He's about 80.
He's 25 and he goes to the council to ask him to fix street signs and stuff.
And he came in and just told me a remarkable story. Now, I've never heard of this happening to anybody, but he has shocked me. Now, James, what did you just say?
So in year 12, I was given the high honour of being a prefect for my year level. So 250
isn't
boys.
That, isn't that when you go, is that like a gap year?
Hold on.
A prefect?
No. So not school captain. You would have loved school captain.
I like to think that I was in the cabinet. Like you got
to get voted into that school captain. He wouldn't have got any votes.
Nah, I didn't have the support of the boys there.
I wonder why.
I got a kid suspended for not wearing his blazer.
Oh.
So you dogged one of your mates.
What a rat.
Not one of my mates. It was a younger boy who just needed to learn the ways of the school.
Wow.
Nerd.
So would you go to the principal's office and just dob him in?
Yeah, we had a consultation. We decided it was best if he just reflect on his actions.
Did he stick you in a bin or something after that? Or
I did have to. I did lunchtime inside for that term.
For a younger kid. Wow.
Too scared to go out to the courtyard.
It wasn't a good term.
God.
Boys, there's a year 7 out there giving me greasies.
Oh, God. All right, we've gone to the phones. What is it?
Aish?
Aish, yes.
How are you, Aish? What did you get suspended for?
I got suspended when I was in year 7, so going back about 12 years now. I got suspended for a week for not having my home reader filled in for 3 days.
What's the home reader?
So it's like where we have to read a book, and every day you had to read, I think it was about 2 to 3 pages, and I was a straight-A student. I just didn't read my book because I didn't like the book, and I got suspended for a week.
Oh, my God. I would have been suspended for a year if I had to read a book. Watch the movie. Heaps easier.
Pardon?
Isn't it like, I thought it was like a learner's logbook. You just fudge the stats at the end.
We got set task books, and it was just a terrible... I didn't like the book. It was boring, so I was like, I'm not going to read it. And I didn't think I'd get suspended for a week, but I did.
Wow. Jeez. Well, I've never read a book. I used to always watch the movies that the book was obviously
that the movie
about.
Was based on, yeah.
And if there was no movie, I'd just copy someone from the year before. Bang. Ace.
Yep.
Marty from Melbourne.
Ace is shattered.
Marty from Melbourne, good morning. Right. What'd you get suspended for, Marty?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Oh, you and I, here we go. This will be good.
No, this is a funny one, mate. Long story short, when I was in year 8 up at Sion Catholic College, I decided that me and a mate, Guy Hutchison, real good mates, we used to always get up to trouble. What we decided to do, we were in the science lab, sitting there ready for a class. We had a double period and it actually skipped over to the next class, which we left to go for recess, and then we came back. I decided that I'd put the water hose onto the gas main and turned the water hose on. And this, keep in mind, the gas main's all turned off at the time, right? So the teacher comes in the class and we all come back from recess and she turns the gas main on and water's been dripping into the gas main. well, everyone gets their Bunsen burners out and they plug it into the, they plug into the gas main and she starts handing out matches. And I look over to the left of me, look over to the right of me, and everyone's lighting their Bunsen burners, and then poof, great big puff of water and mixed gas and explosion. So basically, yeah, I blew up the science lab. That was funny.
Yeah, so we don't condone that, kids in the car, but God, that's funny.
Yeah, Fev's laughter there was out of anger and disappointment.
I was disappointed that I didn't do that at school.
Fev, I told my mate, I got in trouble for this. He never got in trouble. Oh, I think yeah, I told you about my mate Nick Novak. We did a thing in science in year 10 or year 11, and we had this little thing of dirt that we were growing stuff in over a term. And at the last day when we had to get up and present what we'd grown in front of the class, it was about a 40-degree day and all the ceiling fans were on, and the teacher was writing on the board. And we all had our little dirt thing in front of us, and my mate Novak leant over, grabbed mine, and just threw it up into the ceiling fan. So dirt went everywhere. And the teacher turns around, and I'm the only bloke with no dirt in front of me. I got sent out.
See, good.
It is good.
Yeah, it's funny. See, imagine if you had done that at James Blake School. God, he would have got you expelled. Alex from Point Cook, good morning.
Morning, Fev. Morning, Nick. How are you?
Morning.
Good, Al. You sound like you would never get in any trouble. Yeah. What did you get suspended for?
My dad actually got me suspended.
Your dad?
My dad. So I had failed some sort of English essay, something like that. Again, I didn't read the book. I made it up. It was Tomorrow Where the War Began. When the war began, I just assumed what it would be about. I was wrong. Yeah. So the teacher failed me on principle, and she basically said in front of the class, like, you know, this is not good enough, blah, blah, blah. So I called her an emu, which I didn't think was that dramatic, but she was quite offended.
Did she have a long neck?
She did a tiny head and huge glasses. She
She
knew what you were doing.
I knew what I was doing.
It's not the first time she'd been called, ain't you?
She rang home to my dad. It was probably like midday, 1 o'clock, and he was tanked in the middle of the day.
Oh, God.
It was like a Tuesday. It wasn't any day of note. He was just tanked in the middle of the day. And he took massive offense to the fact that I'd done that, and he wanted to set the precedence. And he said, don't give her a detention, suspend her. She needs to learn a lesson. So I then had a 2-day internal suspension.
Yeah, I know why the dad rang up, so he didn't have to get off the couch. He's got his daughter at home to get the beers out of the fridge for him.
Thank you for your calls.
1019, The Fox.
Big weekend, AFL Grand Final. The Catters did the job over the Swans.
Smashed them.
And we thought let's just try to get a player on. Because Mando rang me yesterday and say, hey, can we get some players on? I said, Mando, there is no player that's going to come on because they will be feeling a little bit dusty.
They won't be able to talk.
They won't be able to talk. And I thought, let's just go one better because we are joined now by media royalty. She is the number one ticket holder down at the Cattery, being the number one ticket holder for 11 years. And I watched a lot of footage yesterday and she was popping up everywhere. It was like she played in the grand final. The beautiful Beck Madden. Morning, Beck.
I feel like I played in the grand final this morning. I have never been so exhausted. Thank you for having me on, though, this morning. And my one sleeping I've had for the last 2 weeks. I'm really enjoying this phone call.
Beck, I'm an Essendon fan, so it's been some time since I've got to watch a grand final with them in it. How does it fit? Your team get a 35-point lead, I believe, by quarter time. Does it actually calm you down a little bit? Does it make it more enjoyable?
That's a great question because it felt... The whole day felt surreal. Like 15, honestly, and this is, they're going to kill me for saying this, the Geelong Footy Club, but 15 minutes into the first quarter, I thought, we are on here.
Yeah,
like,
on.
We are on. Like, this is theirs to lose at this moment. And I never say that because we like to keep the lid on things at the Geelong Cats, but they just were playing some great footy and Sydney just didn't turn up. And it was a surreal moment. And even Saturday night, to be honest, we went back to the club, but it's a sort of more intimate gathering. It was like 10 o'clock at night and the boys walked in with the cup. And it just felt surreal. Sunday, sort of the family day down at the club, you would have seen the pictures yesterday at St. Mary's Oval, just opposite the for the footy ground. That was the day that it actually really started to sink in. Yesterday was a really wonderful day because it became real.
Well, it did, and you did do that at St. Mary's because the Cats are not allowed on their ground.
No, I know.
That's a bit of a stinker.
It's taken over. What? So the premiers were locked out.
Locked out of their own ground.
Stadium.
I could not believe that.
I know, it's quite funny. It was fine. We've got enough ovals just adjacent. It was fine. It was a really wonderful day. But
you were everywhere, Beck. I was watching the footage and you were jumping on Dangerfield's back. You were cuddling all the players. I'm like, have a look. She's all over this.
No, oh, it was really fun. You know what, Fev? I think the older and wiser and more mature you get, you really appreciate these moments because you just realise that who knows what's around the corner.
Oh,
this may be, you know, this may be the last. Who knows? You know, I'm sure it won't be for the Geelong Footy Club. But you really, as a supporter, and we have been, and I always say for the Geelong Cats supporters, like, they get their money's worth, don't they? I mean, the last 20 years have been absolutely ridiculous. So I just really am really cherishing it.
Mainly since you've been the number one ticket holder, they've just been unstoppable. Now,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I think it's all you. Now, your beautiful daughter, Rube, she'd be four now? Nearly five?
Yeah, she's four. Yeah, she is.
Does she know what's going on? She's obviously a Cats girl as well. Was she excited?
We took her to we didn't take her to the grand final, but because I had lots of work stuff on Saturday as well as enjoying the grand final, but we took her to the family day yesterday and she was thrilled to be there. She actually just looked at all the players and she went, Mummy, he's got a medal on and he's got a medal on. And I said, yeah, I know, they're the Geelong Cats and they've won. So she loved it. As soon as kids see Joel Selwood, their eyes just light up. I don't know what it is about that bloke. I've nicknamed him Saint Joel. That's his new name. He is a saint, that guy, for what everything he did on and off the field over the grand final weekend. But she loves him. She got her face painted with a cat yesterday. They had lots of cards and all that sort of stuff down there. So it was actually really lovely to share with her as well. Not that she understands the full magnitude of it, but loved it all the same.
You talk about Joel Selwood now. I know Joel really well, obviously played against him, but I live with one of his brothers, Troy, when I was in Brisbane. Yep. He played the Brisbane Lions. And he gets a bit of flack from opposition, Joel Selwood, you know, because of his head-high tackles and stuff. But he is Geelong. He's the mayor of the Geelong City. He does a lot of stuff outside the footy ground that people just don't really know. But it sort of come to the fore on the weekend where he ran out with Gaz Ablett Jr.'s little boy, Levi, which was a touching moment. And
The tears started there and they didn't stop. It was so emotional and it was just the most wonderful tribute to the Ablett family. And they, in turn, were so appreciative as well.
They were. And to see Levi's face, he's running through the banner. And then to go up to Sammy, and I've seen Sammy played in a grand final also this year. And I think Channel 7 might have covered that when he played out in Geelong, and he's always at the ground. He goes once a week and the boys pick him up. They take him out for lunch, and then Joel sees him in the side of the ground, picks him over the fence, and, you know, Sammy's face after that. Also gives his boots away to the Oz Kicker of the Year. God, he's just a superstar.
And you know what? All those things that everybody saw on grand final day, they're the things that he does day in, day out.
Yeah.
Like they're not just because it was grand final day. And this is the weird thing. Joel got the captaincy at 23 years of age, you know, and being a captain takes a lot of time, but he amazingly finds time for everybody else. He's a saint.
Yes. Now, Beck, are you at Mad Monday today with the boys or?
No, I pulled the pin on. I'm a little bit old for Mad Monday. I don't think my heart would survive. No, I'm going to work today, but as you can tell, I've got a really raspy voice, so I'm not quite sure how I'm going to read the news this afternoon. But that's okay. That's allowed. They give you a pass for that, don't they, if you win the grand final?
Oh, yeah.
You're allowed to be a little bit scratchy on
Monday. Mate, I saw Barrett yesterday on the news, and he had a Savlaki to get that voice going back to normal.
Hey, you know what's going to be great, though? Mad Monday, Geelong Football Club, best outfits ever.
Yes, they do. Every year, the Mad Monday, the Cats are the kings of it. They never get in any trouble. They do the right thing, but they all dress up in some of the most amazing. I think Joel Selwood might have been, he dressed up with Matty Scarlett and he laid on a stretcher with, what's the bloody movie called?
That's right.
With the face on and
my brain's not working this morning.
Yeah, my brain's not working either, but I can't think of
the
film.
Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, something like that. And he was laying on a stretcher.
He's Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, great. And they wheeled him in. They've done Hangover. they're the best. Now, you can catch up. Start the date with Beck on the Channel 7 Afternoon News. Beck Madden, the number one ticket holder of Geelong. Thank you so much for joining us. You're an absolute saint, and we love what you do.
Thank you so much, guys. It's just been a remarkable weekend. But how great is it generally to have footy back?
Yes. Yes. What about the ratings? I should talk to you about that. I've got a theory on that.
No, do you know what? I think that's a little bit blown out of proportion.
I've got a theory.
What?
Well, the theory is last year we're in lockdown. No one's allowed it out, so there's more eyeballs on TVs. This year, everyone's having parties, so there's not that many TVs on. So I reckon they've absolutely butchered what they're saying.
Yeah, I don't think it really stacks up, to be honest. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think that's a bit of a headline there.
Run with that at 4 o'clock.
I don't think that's true. Would you like to come on as my guest?
You'll be playing Call of Duty.
Get on your back. Thanks, Tom.
Hilariously Melbourne. Fifi, Bev and Nick. A lot of home builders talk the talk and make you pay for the walk. Not their Haven Homes. Their fair and transparent service is clear from the start. So leave the talking to Fifi, Bev and Nick and choose Fairhaven Homes for your next home build. Fifi, Bev and Nick.